Otetai ae afinei ia tātou, tihei Māori ora. This is The Green Desk on 95BFM.
Today on The Green Desk, I chatted with Phil Jones from the Sustainable Business Network about their Gulf X project, which aims to restore the Māori of the Hauraki Gulf, or, as it is otherwise known, Tikapa Moana. The sixth State of Our Gulf report, which was recently published, highlighted the urgency with which we need to act. Some of the more shocking statistics of the report included the occurrence of 10 mass mortality events of fish and shellfish in the Gulf in the past 10 years and 9 toxic algal blooms. This is due in part to the fact that almost 4,000 tonnes of nitrogen flows into the Firth of Thames from the rivers in Hauraki every year. Crayfish are also functionally extinct in the Gulf after once being one of its most abundant species. While the report identified overfishing as another serious cause of biodiversity loss, the Gulf X project chose to focus on the terrestrial sources of environmental degradation, such as sediment, plastic, and heavy metals. Phil began by telling me what we mean when we talk about the Hauraki Gulf.
The Hauraki Gulf is obviously one of our taongas. It's the playground for most Aucklanders over the summer and at other times. So it's a really special place. So in 2000, a Parliament Act was passed, basically creating the Hauraki Gulf Marine Park. And the intention behind that was to basically improve the management of the Gulf because there were clear signs of emerging problems in terms of its health.
Can I ask just about that term marine park? How does that differ to a marine reserve?
Good question. It doesn't mean that it's protected, and this is one of the key challenges, really, and the issues we have, because actually only about 0.3% of the marine park area, which is actually New Zealand's largest national park, it's the only marine park, national park. All the others are on land, but it is actually the largest by area. So it stretches sort of Mongafai up in the north all the way down to close to Waihi, down the east coast. So that's a huge area in terms of the size, but also the catchment, the sort of land-based catchment that then feeds into that area is also very large. So it's not just the sort of eastern fringe of Auckland and up the east coast towards Northland. It actually covers a lot of the Waikato area as well. So the catchment includes, it's sort of a finger all the way down to Rotorua. So basically, a raindrop that falls just north of Rotorua will discharge into a stream, into one of the Hauraki Plain rivers, and be discharged into the Firth of Thames. So it's a massive area.
And how does that kind of interconnectedness affect the way that you've approached this with the management?
Well, so we at SBN, Sustainable Business Network, we are a member-based network, but essentially our purpose is to empower business so that people and nature prosper. So it's really changing how we do business. That's what we're about. And obviously we have a whole range of different sort of focus areas, climate action, what we call the circular economy, but also clean water is a big focus. So that is where we've got involved in some of the work around, you know, protecting and restoring the Hauraki Gulf.
And I believe the name of this project is Gulf X.
Yes, so we received funding from the Foundation North Gift Fund to devote to the restoration of the Māori of the Hauraki Gulf. It's basically improving the health of the Hauraki Gulf.
And talking about the Māori of the Hauraki Gulf, I understand that it is somewhat lacking at the moment. Could you describe that?
Sure. Last week, the latest State of Our Gulf report was published by the Hauraki Gulf Forum, and that's the sixth report that's been published since the year 2000. And progressively over that time, each of these reports has described a slow or not so slow deterioration in the health of the Gulf in different ways. So this latest report is pretty alarming, and you know, some of the commentary that's included in the report is really raising a warning flag to Auckland and the nation, really, that we've got to up our game on this because we're not looking after it as we need to and things are deteriorating. You know, it's quite easy to assume that because on a bright sunny summer's day, the water looks beautiful, it's sparkling, and it kind of hides the reality of below the surface in terms of, you know, the degradation of fish stocks, the impacts of sediment, and generally problems in terms of pollution.
How does GolfX tie in with the Sustainable Business Network's other projects?
Sure. So with our golf project, we're very much focused on land-based pollution sources. So there's obviously what happens actually out on the water. You know, overfishing is clearly a really problem area. You know, for example, the snapper and tarakia are below 20% of their unfished biomass levels, so lots of significant issues there. In terms of what we're doing, so as I say, we're focusing on land-based pollution sources. So we're particularly looking at the problems of sediment, plastic, and heavy metals or toxic metals. So the sediment is really any ground that's disturbed where there's soil that is exposed to rain potentially contributes to the sediment problem. So over, you know, 50 years, the sediment levels in our harbours has increased significantly. And that basically smothers a lot of the marine life that live at the bottom of the harbour and in a gulf. One thing we're particularly doing with SBN is encouraging tree planting of riparian streamside and riverside banks, which helps to basically trap that sediment.
I was interested by the heavy metal side of thing. I feel like that's not an issue that I've ever really heard about in terms of our marine environments.
Absolutely. It's something that until we started looking into this, we weren't aware of it either, and it comes as quite a surprise. I mean, there are two main toxic metals that are a problem, zinc and copper. And there are various sources for each of those. For copper, the copper brake pads on road vehicles is one source. So basically, as you brake in your vehicle, little fragments get eroded away over time, get into the rainwater, into our drains, and then out into our streams and out to the sea. So elevated levels, that is a problem for small marine organisms. Zinc, again, with motor vehicles, zinc is part of tyres. It's an essential component of the tyre manufacture. So again, as tyres degrade, zinc particles get eroded away and out into the stormwater. So that's a couple of examples. There are others, like we use anti-foul paint, which contains copper, to stop build-up of marine life on boat bottoms. So there's a few issues.
And so how are you tackling that as the Sustainable Business Network?
Sure. Unfortunately, there's not a solution to the zinc in tyres at the moment, but there is a solution to the copper in brake pads. So there are now low or no copper brake pads that are available. So they are actually available in, you know, places like Repco and some of those automotive retail shops. So what we're trying to do is raise the awareness of that, so people at least know that that is an option. And making that small change, you know, does prevent further problems.
Yeah, and another one I noticed you talking about is plastics. And what I thought was really interesting is that it isn't just focusing on the end of life. It's not just cleaning up our beaches. It's looking earlier on in the life cycles to try and prevent those plastics getting there.
Absolutely. This is a key part of what we've been doing in the last year or so, is really addressing the systemic problems with the plastic packaging system as we've got it. Obviously, we use an awful lot of plastic. It has an important role to play, but we've basically overused it and we're not managing it well. So our plastic packaging project and program has really looked to look at alternatives and very much tied into what we call the circular economy. So that's finding ways of reusing materials or recycling properly and all that sort of thing. So we've been running workshops, masterclasses as we call them, with businesses involved in that sector to basically look to co-develop solutions, and where those solutions already exist, to kind of accelerate their uptake and introduction.
Historically, there's a bit of a pushback against sustainability and environmental practices, sometimes people believing that they are at odds with making a profit, which is the goal of a lot of businesses. So how you kind of approach that and reconcile those differences?
Yeah, that's definitely been historically, that's been the thought, that business is separate from the environment. But I think over time, you know, more and more business leaders have recognized that they actually do have a responsibility to make sure that their operations are sustainable and that they're contributing to a more sustainable society as well. So I think the awareness is now raised. The challenge now is the actual how. How do we make the changes so that businesses can still thrive but without putting those pressures and stresses on the environment? Climate's a really good example of that in terms of climate action. you know, businesses are recognising they've got a role to play in this, and they are at least setting some good targets, which then will encourage meaningful action. And again, climate is a connection to the condition of the health of the Gulf. For example, one of the researchers from Auckland University, Associate Professor Rochelle Constantine, talked about the impact of warming seas in terms of the distribution of microscopic animals within the sea. And they've basically moved away from the coast because the coastal waters have got warmer, which then means that some of the larger things like dolphins and whales tend to move further out as well because they feed on these microscopic animals. So climate change is also connected very much with the health of the Hauraki Gulf.
Because I understand there have been some successes recently in terms of those larger mammals in the Gulf to do with whale strikes and lowering boat speeds.
Yeah, I think that the report identifies where there have been successes, and that is clearly one. So there has been an improvement, and that shows the power of good voluntary action. I think the question is, you know, voluntary action is good, but we do need some tougher regulation and enforcement of regulation, and that goes back to making more of the marine park properly protected, you know, in terms of marine reserves. Some people are advocating for up to 30% of the Hauraki Gulf Marine Park area to be protected reserves by 2030, say. The Hauraki Gulf Forum have a 10% target without a specified date. So, you know, there is some advocacy for that, but it is urgently needed, I think, because voluntary actions won't do it, basically.
And on that same topic, I know some people are advocating around the idea of a legal personhood status for the Gulf, same as we have with the Whanganui River.
I think that would be a really positive move. I think generally we've got to recognise that we are part of nature, we're not separated from nature. So that's a sign that we're properly reflecting that in the way we manage these special places.
Obviously there is a bit of a time pressure now more than ever to restore the Māori of the Gulf. I understand you have some sort of goals in mind at the end of this 3-year project.
I mean, there are two major events obviously happening in Auckland next year, 2021, the America's Cup in March and the APEC meeting in September. So the eyes of the world will be on Auckland, and clearly, you know, it won't be a good look for Auckland and New Zealand if we have big heavy rainfall events around the time of the America's Cup, which leads to sediment flows that then appear as brown splurges when helicopters look down during race time.
And so this event that's happening on the 26th of March, what's that all about?
So we have what we're calling a birthday party for the Gulf. So the Gulf's just turned 20 years, or the marine parks turned 20 years. We're basically going to be showcasing the ways that people can easily take action to contribute to improving the health of the Gulf. And that's from things like how you can get involved in tree planting events or donate to tree planting initiatives. I talked about some of the solutions to, you know, the plastic packaging issues, so we've got some examples of those. And we hope to have some of the solutions to the transport issues as well. We've got some wonderful virtual reality headsets that people can wear and be, you know, underwater looking 360, seeing both the wonderful things and some of the, you know, less wonderful things that are below us, below the surface. We've got heaps of wonderful prizes. We're going to encourage people who come along just to pop in, learn a bit about what the problems and solutions are, and tell us what they'll be doing. What is their commitment? What is their gift to the Gulf for 2020?
That was Phil Jones from Sustainable Business Network talking about the Gift to Our Gulf birthday party. Pop along next Thursday between 11 and 3 at Takutai Square in Britomart to pledge your gift to the Gulf and be in to win some of those prizes he was talking about, which include whale and dolphin safaris and e-bike hire.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihe Māori Ora.
Ko te waia tēnei marunga iri.